Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the attack on Burgos, Wellington's unsuccessful assault on the Spanish city of Burgos between 19th September and 25th October 1812, following the Battle of Salamanca in the Peninsular War. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site for the attack on Burgos, where you will see a number of illustrations and my maps of the attacks. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@BritishBattles.com. The British attack on Burgos took place between 19th September and 25th October 1812. Burgos is a Spanish city northwest of Madrid. Lieutenant General the Earl of Wellington commanded the 35,000 British, Portuguese and Spanish troops that attacked a garrison of 2,000 French troops in Burgos Castle, commanded by General Dubreton. Wellington's attack was decisively repelled by the French garrison. On 12th August 1812, Wellington's army entered the Spanish capital, Madrid, following its victory over Marmont's French Army of Portugal at the Battle of Salamanca on 22nd July 1812. Wellington's army received an enthusiastic reception from the inhabitants, while Joseph Bonaparte, the Emperor Napoleon's brother and King of Spain, escaped east towards Valencia with his French army and those residents of Madrid committed to the French. A French garrison of 2,000 men remained in Madrid, in and around the Retiro Palace. The next day, under threat of a heavy bombardment, the Retiro garrison surrendered to Wellington. Other French garrisons between Madrid and the Portuguese border were in danger of capture. General Clausel, commanding the French Army of Portugal in place of Marmont, wounded at Salamanca, seized the opportunity of Wellington's diversion to Madrid to march south and rescue such French garrisons as he could reach. Clausel entered Valladolid on 16th August 1812 and sent General Foy west to rescue the outlying French garrisons. Foy returned to Valladolid on 29th August 1812 with the garrisons of Toro, Beneventa and Zamora, the French in Astorga having surrendered 36 hours before Foy reached them. Wellington began his move against Clausel's army of Portugal on 16th August 1812, with the initial concentration of most of his army at the Escorial Royal Palace, 20 miles to the northwest of Madrid. On the same day, Clausel marched north to positions around Burgos. Wellington advanced on Burgos, preparing to attack Clausel's army, but on 17th September 1812, Clausel marched through Burgos and continued north, leaving a French force in the castle. The French garrison left to hold Burgos Castle comprised 2,000 men under the command of General Dubreton. Wellington took the view that the city of Burgos, once captured, would secure his position in western central Spain, standing as it does at the junctions of the roads from the north and from France in the northeast, with the roads leading south to Madrid and southwest to the Portuguese border. At Burgos, these roads cross the river Arlanzon. The difficulty Wellington faced was that, not expecting to win a decisive battle at Salamanca, and expecting to be forced to retreat, he had ordered his heavy artillery back to Ciudad Rodrigo. The British army was without the heavy artillery required for an attack on a fortified citadel, such as Burgos Castle. Fortescue describes Burgos in these terms: "The country about the upper waters of the Arlanzon consists of chalk downs naturally scarped, and it is upon a chalk hill rising high and abruptly from the north side of the river that the castle of Burgos stands, with the town spread out at its foot. Burgos Castle was defended by three lines of fortification. The first was the old medieval wall, strengthened with an earth parapet. The second was a palisaded fieldwork. The third fortification was a riveted palisade protected by a ditch. On the top of the castle hill was a church and the ancient keep, now a retrenchment with a newly built casemated work called the Napoleon Battery. 300 yards to the northeast of Burgos Castle lies a hill called St. Michael, which rises 150 feet higher than the castle. When in Spain, Napoleon ordered the building of a hornwork on St. Michael, similar in size to the castle and rising to 150 feet above it. Much work remained to be completed, but it was a strong work, with the rear closed by a palisade. The guns in the Napoleon Battery dominated the interior of the hornwork on St. Michael. On 19th September 1812, Burgos Castle was surrounded by the British 1st, 5th, 6th and 7th Infantry Divisions, with two brigades of Portuguese infantry. The 6th Division occupied the south bank of the Alençon River, while the remaining divisions crossed the river and occupied the St. Michael Heights in front of the hornwork and drove in the outlying French posts. The remainder of Wellington's army took up position 9 miles to the northeast of Burgos at Monasterio de Rodilla on the road to France. Fortescue states that taking Burgos Castle would have been little of a problem to an army with a full siege train and experienced in such operations. Unfortunately for Wellington, due to the threat from Marmont's army of Portugal before the Battle of Salamanca, he had sent his heavy guns back to Ciudad Rodrigo to avoid their loss in the event of a sudden withdrawal. For the attack on Burgos Castle, Wellington could deploy only 3 18-pounder cannon and 5 24-pounder howitzers, and his supplies of gunpowder were inadequate for the expenditure required in a siege operation. Against this armament, the French garrison deployed 9 heavy guns, 11 field guns, and 6 mortars. In addition, the ordnance of the Army of Portugal's reserve artillery was stored in Burgos Castle, providing replacement pieces for any damaged or destroyed. The initial operation, the storming of the hornwork on St. Michael, took place on the first night. The 42nd Highlanders, the Black Watch, provided a firing party to cover the main frontal assault allotted to Pack's Portuguese Brigade. The light companies of the 2nd 24th, 1st 42nd, 1st 79th and the Guards, commanded by Major Somers Cox, moved around the back of the hornwork to prevent reinforcement from the castle and to make an additional assault into the rear. The attack was launched at 8 p.m. in the dark and immediately encountered severe difficulties. The frontal firing party was observed by the French and subjected to a damaging fire. A party of Highlanders carried the escalading ladders into the ditch and propped them against the palisade, but the Portuguese troops failed to follow them and mount the ladders. The Highlanders mounted the ladders in place of the Portuguese, but were insufficient in numbers and were driven back, leaving the attack on the front of the hornwork a failure. At the rear of the hornwork, Major Somers Cox's men, under heavy fire from the castle, scaled the palisade and drove the French back. Leaving a small party to hold the sallyport in the rear palisade, Cox attacked the eastern bastion of the hornwork and overcame the French garrison. Relieving French troops from the castle forced their way through the hornwork rear sallyport, but were driven out by Somers Cox's troops, leaving the hornwork in British hands. Wellington then received news that a reinforcement of 7,000 men had reached the French army of Portugal, with further drafts expected. It was necessary to press on with the attack on Burgos Castle without delay. On the night of 20th September 1812, the British constructed their first battery to the west of the Hornwork. On 22nd September 1812, two 18-pounders and three field howitzers were mounted in the battery. On the same night, an attack was launched by a Portuguese battalion on a weakly held part of the western palisade of Burgos Castle, while a force of 400 men, formed from all the battalions of the 1st Division, attacked a different part of the wall. The attacks failed, the Portuguese refusing to advance, and the British force all rushing into the ditch, when half were meant to have remained on the rim and provided covering fire. The French rolled down shells and rocks into the ditch and drove the British force back, with a loss of half their number. French losses were reported as less than 20. The British now turned to mining the defences. A parallel trench was constructed along the west side of Burgos Castle, from the suburb of San Pedro. Due to the heavy rain, the French garrison did not notice what was being built until dawn on 24th September 1812. Thereupon, the French stationed sharpshooters in a palisade projecting from the fortifications, and a telling fire was opened on the British troops working in the parallel trench, inflicting significant casualties. Heavy howitzers were moved into the new battery, but were unable to hit the projecting palisade. The fire of the howitzers and the 18-pounders in the second battery consumed the meagre store of British ammunition, forcing Wellington to send for more powder from Sir Hume Popham's Royal Navy Squadron at Santander. During the wait for the fresh powder supply, work was pressed forward on two mine galleries under the French fortifications on the western side of Burgos Castle. At the same time, zigzag approaches were built down the hill from the Hornwork, and a trench constructed to hold the infantry prior to an assault. The work was slow due to the reluctance of the British troops to work under heavy fire in pouring rain and the active resistance of the French garrison. With the completion of one of the mines, the assault was set for the night of 29th September 1812. 300 British troops were told off for the attack, with a forlorn hope of one officer and 20 men. At midnight, the mine was fired, putting the French troops in the area in a panic and enabling the forlorn hope to gain the top of the parapet. The following party of storming troops lacked a competent guide and lost its way in the dark, finally returning to its starting position without making an assault and leaving the forlorn hope to abandon its position and retire. Before the assaulting party could be redirected, the French were reinforced, making an assault no longer practicable. A siege requires a substantial store of artillery and small arms ammunition due to the continual expenditure, and Wellington's ammunition was now exhausted, making further operations against Burgos Castle impossible until more ammunition was procured. Heavy rain made the work of the besieging forces increasingly difficult, and discipline deteriorated. British and Portuguese working parties, other than the British Guards battalions, shirked their duties wherever possible. A third battery was completed and mounted with three guns. These guns were knocked to pieces by French counter-battery fire before they could be brought into action. Another battery, quickly built to the north of the third battery, suffered the same fate from the heavy plunging artillery fire of Burgos Castle. The besieging force was now suffering severely from its lack of success, the rain that was falling, and the heavy fire of the French artillery. On the wet and stormy night of 2nd October 1812, the only troops to turn up for duty in the siege lines were the British Foot Guards, the others absenting themselves. The two remaining 18-pounders were brought back to the 1st Battery, and the breach made by the 1st Mine, now partially repaired by the French, was reopened by bombardment. A second mine to the west of the 1st Mine was completed. At 5 p.m. on 4th October 1812, the new mine was exploded, and parties from the British 24th Regiment stormed the demolished works and the old breach, to be followed by other regiments. The first line of the defences at these points was taken, with casualties of 37 killed and 213 wounded or missing, including 9 officers. This success was immediately followed with the building of trenches approaching the second French line. The British guns fired on this second wall, battering it down. But once again, the French preponderance in firepower and the lack of an adequate supply of ammunition brought Wellington's troops up short. 2 of the British heavy guns were put out of action, while the heavy rain hampered the siege work. At 2 a.m. on 8th October 1812, the French garrison sallied out and rushed the works under construction, achieving surprise. The approaches to the second wall were levelled by the French, and large numbers of the besiegers' tools were carried off. The British troops rallied and counterattacked the French, driving them back into Burgos Castle. The British suffered 200 casualties in the attack and counterattack, including the death of the recently promoted Colonel Charles Summers Cox. Wellington's reserves of artillery and musket ammunition were now so low that active prosecution of the siege had to be reduced to attempting to set fire to the magazine in Burgos Castle, containing the French ammunition and supplies, by firing red-hot shot. This attempt, maintained for 3 days, was unsuccessful. Small fires were generated in the roof of the magazine, easily put out by the French. By 10th October 1812, ammunition for the British guns was so low that resort had to be made to collecting French projectiles from the battlefield. Eventually, a convoy of powder arrived from Admiral Popham's Royal Navy Squadron at Santander, and the British bombardment resumed. A mine was begun towards the southeast corner of Burgos Castle at San Roman's Church, used by the French as a storehouse. On 11th October 1812, the British guns were almost out of ammunition and firing fell to a low level, enabling the French to repair the damage to the second wall. On 15th October 1812, the British guns, comprising a howitzer and 2 damaged 18-pounders, opened fire from the second battery on the Napoleon battery. These guns were quickly silenced by the heavier weight of artillery in the French defences. The British fire was turned on the original breach in the second line. The breach was quickly widened and was nearly in a state where an assault could be made when ammunition began to run out. More ammunition arrived from Ciudad Rodrigo, but during the night the heavy rain washed the battery walls away and the bombardment could not be resumed until they were rebuilt. With firing resumed on the 17th October 1812, the few British guns managed to sweep away the retrenchments built by the French behind the breach, and preparations were made for a final assault. The attack was to be in 3 parts. The mine under the San Roman Church would be fired, and a party of Spanish and Portuguese troops under Colonel Brown would rush the position. Simultaneously, 200 troops of the Foot Guards would attack the eastern breach in the first line, and then scale the second wall, while 200 of the King's German Legion, under Major Wurm, would assail the western breach in the second line. The San Roman mine was fired and created a large hole in the defences, which was occupied by Brown's Spanish and Portuguese troops. The guards advanced to the first line, passed it, and formed up for the attack on the second line. Half of Worm's King's German Legion party having stormed into the second line, instead of turning and attacking a stockade on their flank, joined the guards in their attack on the walls. The other half of Worm's party failed to appear, leaving an inadequate force to continue the assault. The few King's German Legion and Guards troops that penetrated the next line of French defences were killed, and the rest driven back by a French counterattack on their front and flanks. The Coldstream Guards suffered losses of 60 killed and wounded, including 4 officers, while the 3rd Guards lost 25 men, including 2 officers. The King's German Legion lost 75 men, including 7 officers. Major Worm was killed. On 22nd October 1812, Wellington abandoned the attack on Burgos Castle. The guns were withdrawn, the siege works destroyed, and the army fell back, leaving General Pack to continue the blockade of the French garrison. British losses in the attack on Burgos Castle were some 92 officers and 1,972 soldiers, of whom 1/3 were killed. French casualties were around 600, of whom half were killed. The attack on Burgos is considered to be one of Wellington's few failures in the field. During October and November 1812, the French concentrated their main armies in Spain against Wellington. Joseph, with the Army of the Centre, after his precipitate retreat from Madrid in August 1812, returned from Valencia with Marshal Soult's Army of the South. The Army of Portugal and the Army of the North advanced south down the Burgos Road, with Wellington falling back before them. After re-entering Madrid, Joseph and Soult joined the French Army of Portugal, now under Souham, giving Joseph a combined force of some 90,000 men, including 11,000 cavalry and some 200 guns. Sir Rowland Hill, after withdrawing before Soult's advancing troops, joined Wellington on the River Tormes, giving Wellington a combined force of 52,000 British and Portuguese and 12,000 Spanish troops, of which 3,500 were cavalry, with 108 guns. With this considerable imbalance in forces, the contestants took up position on either side of the River Tormes to the east of Salamanca. On 14th November 1812, Soult's Army of the South began crossing the River Tormes around Nejeme, 3 miles upstream from Alba de Tormes. Soult's move, although slow and deliberate, outflanked Wellington's positions along the River Tormes and provoked him into a general retreat, which did not end until his army marched exhausted into Ciudad Rodrigo. The rearguard arrived on 19th November 1812. On 17th November 1812, as Wellington's army began its retreat, his deputy, General Sir Edward Paget, was surprised, unescorted by French dragoons, and taken prisoner. Paget's loss was keenly felt by Wellington and the army. While Wellington was back where he had begun the 1812 campaign, it was not considered that he was in any way defeated. He had advanced a considerable distance, beaten the French army of Portugal, and driven it north. He had compelled Joseph to escape from his capital city in an ignominious rush, and he had forced Soult to abandon his fiefdom in the south of Spain. One of Wellington's principal aims was to cause the French to concentrate their armies against him, giving the guerrilla bands all over Spain the opportunity to operate against French interests without interruption. This Wellington certainly achieved in the autumn of 1812. 1813 would see Wellington resuming his advance against the French in Spain, this time with more permanence. In the meanwhile, Wellington's army needed time to recover from an arduous year. It is said that Wellington rarely showed grief, but did so at the military funeral of Colonel Somers Cox. Somers Cox began his peninsular service with the 16th Light Dragoons. Somers Cox was one of Wellington's observing officers, carrying out reconnaissance behind French lines. The brilliance of his conduct earned him promotion to the rank of Major in the 79th Cameron Highlanders and an acting Colonel's rank. That is the end of this podcast on the attack on Burgos. I hope you have enjoyed it and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site on the battle, where you will find pictures of the battle and images of the regiments that took part with maps of the battle. Finally, I would invite you to look at the list of British Battles podcasts on www.britishbattles.com/BritishBattles-com-podcasts.